Good morning, everyone. Very lovely to see all of your lovely faces. My face comes bearing news. I can finally read the word again, so hopefully this will be better than the last few weeks. Except when you take it off, you can see absolutely nothing. So this is new for me. For all of you who have had glasses for a while, well done. It's amazing what technology can provide us. As long as we can read the word, then we're winning. So it's really great that we can gather together. And this morning, I just felt an encouragement from the Lord to read the first three or four verses from the book of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, please open them there with me. We don't have slides this morning, so it'll be good for us just to open up there. So get your apps out, get your Bible out. It's only four verses. And I'm going to put my glasses on so I can actually read. Cool. So the interesting thing is that as we worship the Lord singing All Hail King Jesus, the people that this writer wrote this book of letter to the Hebrews, they began to forget that. They knew that he was Lord, but began to move into a space of being intimidated by the Jews, that Jesus maybe was just a nice guy, a really wonderful teacher. And so the writer of Hebrews writes this as part of his motivation to them, just to remember that Jesus is more than just a good teacher. He writes this and says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. A really beautiful start to a letter that is a letter that is deep and rich in theology, but the writer writes it in such a way that it calls us to actually live out that deep theology and that faith and that understanding of who God is. And so long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. God is a communicating God, yes? Do we still believe that? Or did he speak and, you know, he said enough, he spoke enough over the last couple thousand years, he doesn't want to talk anymore, he's used up his word count. I don't think God is like that. He's a communicating God, and we can be evidenced, that is evidenced by the fact that some of us love to talk, yes? And we're made in his image. And so we know we have a God who wants to communicate, and he has spoken through the ages. In fact, the very beginning of all this beauty that we see around us came out of God's mouth. He spoke it into being. And he has spoken to man throughout history in many and various ways, he says, by the prophets. Many and various. We have a God who has variety. He's spoken bits and pieces to this prophet, bits and pieces to this prophet, but then he wraps it all up in the beautiful image of his own son, Jesus. And so the prophets and the prophetesses of old only saw in part. And I think that's some of our frustration as we try to understand the fullness of God. We only see in part. As Paul says, we see like through a veil, but we know that there's this incredibly amazing God that we want to see, but we're limited in our humanness. But God spoke to and through imperfect people, and yet he found it good to do. Isn't that encouraging for you? Imperfect, but God wants to speak. Over 300 times, there's the direct phrase God said in the Old Testament. And that doesn't exclude the 150 times Jesus said. It's only God. And so we see a God who wants to speak, and as he unfolds his beautiful plan for mankind, he speaks to us and through us, because he wants us to get it. I love the fact that God wants to talk with us. He wants to be with us. That was his desire from the start. He creates this amazing garden where he walks with Adam and Eve, and his desire was to continue to do that till they sinned and broke that relationship and the communication with God. But throughout the centuries, he keeps on making a plan, the tabernacle, that I can come and live among you. He then creates us and calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. And one day, that great day, when Jerusalem comes down and he comes to dwell amongst us once again, for him to be our God and for us to be his people. Oh, we look forward to that day, do we not? But he continues to speak. He spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. And I love but in these last days, because it's going, God is this amazingly communicating God, but he has even more. He speaks to us through his son. And God acted in certain ways in the past, but now he's acting through his very own son. And God was done with leaving the revealing of his master plan through broken people. He was like, I'm going to send the one who gets me the most. I'm sending my son. I need them to understand this full picture of who I am and this amazing plan of redemption. And so I'm going to send my son who gets me, the best representative that I have, who understands all that I am. Peter Howard Brown preached once upon a time, and we look forward to the day he does that again. And something he said is that the mere fact that God even speaks to us is huge. But the fact that he gives us his ultimate communicator in his son is breathtakingly awesome. It really is an incredible God who would do that. Not just talk to us, but then send his chief communicator, his son Jesus, to come and talk to us. So man has ambiguously revealed God over the years, but now God perfectly reveals himself through Jesus and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, says Jesus. And so there's no confusing him. If you see Jesus and the way he lives and what he taught, you're seeing God. 12 times in this very book of Hebrews, Jesus is called the Son. And that's not just an offspring like ours, but it talks about this perfect image, this exact imprint of the Father. And so the writer of Hebrews wants us to get this. He wants them never to forget this, because it's possible to start a journey with God. And every one of our journeys started with the person of Jesus, yes? It really did. It, suddenly the words became alive and we met the person of Jesus, understanding him as king. But as we walk with him, we're able to end up like the Hebrews and go, well, we'll get to God one day. He's given us his word and, you know, that's enough for us. It should be enough for us. But we have a God who wants to continue to talk to us. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to remind us, yes, he has done enough. It is finished through him, but he continues to want to speak to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. He's called the Word. He's going to talk. It's just in him. It's who he is. He has to talk. He is the living Word. And so this Jesus who God sends into the world with this world-saving message is to be received by us and by all as the King of heaven. All hail King Jesus. That's the message we have to hear, that he wants to speak to us. He wants to redeem us, but he wants us to be with him in living communication and living communion, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. And so God gave all authority to this Jesus, through whom he also created all the worlds. And so Jesus has final ownership because all things were created through him, yes? Does Jesus still have all reign and authority over your life? Or are there little things in our lives that we, oh, Jesus, thank you for the salary that you gave me. I will spend it accordingly, yes? Lord, thank you for these delightful children that you've blessed me with. I will raise them how I see fit. How quickly we move from all hail King Jesus to these amazing blessings you've given me to do with as I please. And the writer of Hebrews wants to remind us, no, let's remember, he is king. He is God. All these amazing blessings, and they are blessings, the moment we try to be king over them, they will kill us. We were not built to carry the load of them. So God wants to remind us, I'm walking with you. That's the tone of the New Testament, right? I'm with you, Emmanuel, God with us. That's his very name. And his encouragement to us is to stay in that place. That we, your plans, your purposes, your bank statement belongs to God. These delightful children who test us beyond boundaries belong to God. And the writer of Hebrews is calling us to remind ourselves of that because we weren't made to carry that load. And so what is it that is bearing you down? What is it that's consuming you? And perhaps the question God's asking now is, have you tried to become king over that? Your health. Anyone try to hold on to their health? I went to the dentist on last week, Monday. And I thought, you know, it's just a little piece out of my tooth. It's fine. He'll just repair it. He says, you've got two choices. Do you want me to take it out or do you want a root canal? It's like, oh, I don't know if either of those are good. So I just said to him, I'm running out of them. So how about we just fill this one up? But it made me realize I'm not king over my teeth even. That the Lord is the one who has given me these teeth and I have to steward them well. I have to look after them well. But I also can't fight genetics. That some stuff is within our family lineage and we're going to fight it as much as we can, but ultimately it's going to win. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we trying to cling on to? And that's going to cause us stress. It's going to cause us anxiety. It's going to cause us to go into very dark places when we try to put ourselves on the throne of all of these little things that the Lord has placed in our lives, and they're meant to be blessings. They really are. Even this job, Celeste, the moment Celeste begins to lean upon her own gifting to try and serve us, and she does so magnificently, it's going to kill her. She has to remember that she's called to this, that God is enabling her to do this. And she has to give her life over to Him in everything she does. Your finances, your sexuality, your parenting, your talents, your time. Who's Lord? Who's Lord? All belongs to Jesus. We are merely stewards passing through. And that's comforting, actually. It really is comforting that we are only stewards passing through. Abraham Kuyper, who was a Dutch pastor and was a prime minister in the mid-1800s, he said that there is no square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Everything's His. He says, mine. Lyndon, you are mine, says Jesus. Red, you are mine. And it's not a, you are belonging to the King. He's, you are mine. There's a personableness about God that He wants you to belong to Him. And as much as we care for our children, He is exponentially an amazingly good Father. And when you are His, He cares for you. And so the stress and the strain and the challenge of trying to look after these pithy little things in our lives become His problem. But He's incredibly able to provide. He's incredibly able to protect and look after all that He has created. That's what He's calling us to remind ourselves. But all of these things happen through His word. You know, His spoken, that the voice of God is just so amazingly powerful. And I think we realize that when someone says something incredibly hurtful to us, yes? You know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will cause me years and years of therapy? That's the reality of it. Words are not powerless, they're potent. Hence James writing an entire portion where he says, guard that little fire because it'll set forests alight. And a ship, how easily it's directed by a small little rudder. And the tongue is able to direct things in life. So it's powerful. But the voice of God, says the psalmist in Psalm 29, he says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all say glory. That's God. By His voice as He speaks, things come into being. And you see how there's no separation from God and His voice? It says His voice breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars. It's the very same thing. As he speaks, he's not like us. I promise I'll take you for ice cream later. And then we forget, but our children remind us, hey? Yes, they do. But the Lord doesn't need reminding. As he speaks, comes into being. Light be. There it is. And so God's voice. Do you need cedars in your life broken? You need the voice of God speaking. That's what you need. Is there a hurt? Is there something you've been struggling with your entire life? It's the voice of God that has to speak his truth and promises into that space. Because it's his voice that thunders. His voice shakes and breaks things that are created. We've got to hear him. Jesus, the only creator, has rights over everything, including you and including me. And it's his voice that has to speak into our lives, into our lives of our children. So when we're raising them, we don't raise them upon our clever little sayings that we've learned through the ages, do we? We've got to grow them up on the word of God, because that's what's going to shake their worlds. When they've got their own personal struggles, we look at them now and their biggest struggle is, can they have Weet-Bix for lunch? I mean, that's what they want. It's real life. But times are going to come when they're going to have real life challenges. And they need the word of God, not clever phrases we remembered from Simon Sinek, right? It's good stuff. But we need the word of God, that voice that shakes and breaks the cedars. Because he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. That's who I want speaking into my life. That's the voice and the power that I want talking into my life. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. Now, our children are a resemblance of us, yes? Parents are like, no, that behavior is definitely from their mother's side. Jesus is the perfect replica of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus is more than just a righteous man. He's more than just a good teacher or a prophet. He is God with us. The exact imprint. Is he that to you? Is Jesus that to you? Or is he just some guy who the church people follow and, you know, he's done some amazing things, miraculous back in the day? Is he the exact imprint of God to you? Is that real for you? As Jesus' words are when he questioned his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Because ultimately, that's the response we're going to have to give to God one day. Who do we say Jesus is? Who is he to you? If you want to best understand somebody, assess their children. Which is why this is so difficult for us parents, right? Because we know that when the children are misbehaving, and ours never do, but when the children are misbehaving, what is going through our head? What are they going to think of? Not my children. What are they going to think of me? And that's why we don't like this. I remember when we were in the refinery in New Gen days, Aaron was in kids' church. He was a little chocker like this. I was heading up the office staff and the finances of New Gen at the time and kids' ministry. So we were in that building all day, every week. And so kids ministry is happening on Sunday and he's in the classroom and he's completely misbehaving as pastor's children generally do. And the teacher said to him, excuse me, Aaron, you can't do that. He said, my dad's the boss here. I can. We're like, oh, right. That was a reflection of his mother's side coming out there. Although I probably shouldn't say that too loud. I've got the evidence of them right there. But Jesus is the perfect reflection of God. And so when you look at the child, there is a truth that they are reflecting something of the parents and their parenting or something within their personalities. And we can either look at that and then run away and go, I'm just going to find a church where I can throw my kids into kids ministry because no one can judge me. Or we can come forward and go, you know what? None of us are perfect parents. Anyone? No, I didn't think so, except for Nikki. No one's perfect parents. You were agreeing with me. Bless you. None of us are perfect parents. And so we could look at this going, I promise you, my kid's not going to be perfect today. And yes, there's a marginal reflection for me. Why? Because I'm not perfect. And so I could use this as an opportunity to go, hey, all you other dads and moms out there who've parented for years longer than me, help me. Because I've got a gift that I'm trying to nurture and grow and mature into a person who loves the Lord and listens to his voice. And we want to be that community that's vulnerable and open. If any of us think we're perfect, it's going to be a very awkward church to be in. Because Jesus is the only one who's perfect here. But he works with us and he loves us, even though we are not the radiance of God, but he is the perfect radiance of God, the brilliance of God. He's called the noonday sun, the light of the world, a light to the nations, a light of revelation, the true light of men, the dawn from on high, and God's marvelous light. Don't you love that? And we need his light. There's some parenting days where it's just darkness, right? Lots and lots of darkness. And we need his light to shine upon us. But it takes a vulnerability, it takes a humility to go, God, I don't have this all together. My life up until now has not been great. I don't have this all together. As long as I've been following you, it doesn't matter. I still don't have this together. Can I open myself up to your light into this area of my life? Maybe it's finances. Whatever it is, we all have our spaces of darkness. But the beauty of it is that one day, there's going to be a city that has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. One day, this word, this light, is going to be clearly visible before us. No more veil, no more hearing through the prophets trying to interpret what they meant, looking forward to seeing what would arrive, but they didn't get to see it, but just in hope and promise prepared the way for us. We get to see him face to face. What the disciples, the privilege that the disciples had, seeing Jesus face to face. But we're going to have that for all of eternity. And it is in this clear revelatory light that God sends this understanding of his heart for humanity through this Jesus into the world. And says, no more confusion. I've come to redeem you. I've come to make a way for you to be reconciled back to me, for your sins to be forgiven, for you to come and dwell under the shelter of my presence, to experience my joy. Do you need his light in your life today? Are you just coming out of a week, a month, a year, maybe a decade of darkness? I don't know. So anything without him is dark. Are you needing his light to shine upon you? And I sense this morning that God is wanting to do that for us. He didn't speak for thousands of years, promise his son, send us his Holy Spirit to just withdraw and leave us on our own now. That's not him. That's not him. It's not his character. It's the same Jesus who goes in, heals people, gets them to stand up out of their beds, who forgives their sins, who loves on them, tells them their past because they need to repent. It's the same Jesus who dwells amongst us. By his Spirit, he's wanting to shed that light on all of us. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. How does he do all of this? By his powerful word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they've watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Jimmy brought this morning at prayer meeting. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, shall not return to me empty. But it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's secure in Christ. Many of our promises are empty. Your boss's promise of a promotion, increase, empty, right? Maybe he didn't even promise it. Then I suppose he fulfilled it. But God's promises are sure. They're secure. Every word leaving his mouth will fulfill its purpose. Every word. That leaves his mouth. We all know the story of Atlas as he tries to carry the weight of the world. He buckles under that weight. You know how Jesus sustains it? He doesn't even put his back into it. He sustains the whole world by his voice. That's how powerful he is. Be sustained. Ocean, that far, no further. Thunder, lightning, go get stored over there. Rain, hold on. I'll tell you when you can go. He doesn't even have to lift a finger. That's his power and his might, this Jesus, through whom all things were created. What are we worrying about? What are we concerned about that he's not powerful enough to resolve in our lives? That's why the writer of Hebrews is saying, come on, guys, don't forget this Jesus and the power of his word. As image bearers, we get to do the same thing. We get to have power in our words. And there's two kinds of words that probably have ever been spoken over your life. There's life-giving words, and there's been words of death that have sucked the life out of you. And for some of us, we've been carrying that from some teacher, headmistress, boss, 20 years ago. And that's still gnawing upon our insecurities. And I believe that this morning God wants to bring the life of his word, to bring light into that area and to break that darkness. You may not even know it's there. You may have just pushed it under and just gone, I don't even want to think about that thing anymore. I'm fine. But actually, that voice of God wants to come and break those cedars that have taken root in your life and are impacting the way that you live out this faith. You have moments where you just can't trust God, right? Sure, we're all imperfect. And so it's God, we believe, we have faith, but help us with our unbelief. But I had a sense this morning that particularly around the power of words, that God is wanting to bring his voice, which will accomplish all that he sends it out to do, and to speak it into your life. God speaks two kinds of words over us. If you are not his, he is speaking words of forgiveness, and he's speaking words of invitation to come and be with him. Jesus says, I do not condemn you, I do not judge you, that day is coming. But until that day comes, in fact, our very neglect of his invitation is the very thing that will condemn us. He doesn't even need to condemn us. The fact that we haven't received him will be condemnation in and of itself. And so if you do not know him now, his invitation is to say, come and be forgiven, repent, and come and call me, all hail King Jesus. But for those of us who are his, he's speaking words of love and acceptance. It's the only words he speaks over you. Love and acceptance. Words of encouragement. He's cheering you on through your challenges. Is that the picture of Jesus you have? He's cheering you on? Or is he laughing at you, pointing and watching to see how you struggle? Some of that's come from past words that have been spoken over us. Imperfect parents. Every parent has ever spoken only words of life to your children. No, of course not. Do you feel bad about it? Good, you should. But you want to speak the words of life that come from God because he's cheering us on. He speaks promises of wholeness. He speaks promises of blessing over us. Do you sense that from him? His very words must sustain you. They're the only words that will sustain you. My words of affirmation to Seth, they'll be lovely, but they cannot sustain him for long. It's the word of God that has to sustain him. So I've got to raise my children up to stop hearing my voice. They'll get to a place where they need to hear God's voice for themselves, because that's what will sustain them. And how he speaks to us, number one, and the beauty of this is that it doesn't change. Number one, for some of us, we just need to find ourselves in there, finding, seeking out his promises. He speaks through his spirit. Yes, we have those moments where you just sense the Lord whispering something to you, saying something to you. Even Celia this morning, just I had a sense from the Lord just wanting to, and we're imperfect, so we're still trying to, what are you saying, Lord? How by your spirit? But if we are his sheep who hear his voice, Jen, then surely there must be some voice. But then also from fellow saints. This is the manifold wisdom of God to use this body. It's a mystery, says Paul. I know it's a mystery. I look in the mirror, I'm like, it's a mystery that you would use this, Lord. How is your manifold wisdom anywhere here? But it is. And so he speaks to us through the voices that are around you. And so if we separate ourselves, like the writer of Hebrews writes later on, he says, some of you have neglected to meet with the fellowship. And it's not because he's like he wants people gathering together. It's because we need to hear the voice of God. And we are the carriers of that. So what I want to do is actually just shift over now from this into an actual moment to hear words of life spoken over us. You may never have had anyone speak words of wisdom to you. You may have, like Jimmy. Jimmy, you're going to be nothing. You're not going to turn out to be anything magnificent. You're a loser. Your life is a waste. Those are the words he grew up on. He had to undo all of that, reinvent his understanding of what words are spoken over him through this, and through brothers and sisters in Christ coming around him, loving on him, saying, this is what the Lord says over you. You're adopted. You're mine. That can't be changed. And so some of us have had those words spoken over us. And I want to ask some leaders who I messaged this morning to please come up front here. Kelly is going to put some background music on for us. You legend. And for a while, I want to have moments, if the Lord has put anything on your heart, if you're like, I just need to hear some words of life again. I want to ask you to find the courage. Faith is actually taking a step and coming forward to let these people minister to you, to speak words of life over you as an individual. I'm going to open up a time a little bit later. I know Nikki has something to share, but to share with us as a community. But for now, I'm wanting individual moments. And you might be sitting there going, Sisa, I actually feel something for you. I want to go over and pray for you. Please go and do that. So it's not just you have to have everything done up front, but I do want to ask us to be a community who's going to respond to this word, because God has sent it out and he intends to do something with it. And if we will step out in faith and receive it, he's going to do some powerful stuff in us this morning. So can I ask those guys to please come up front? Elders, leaders, please come up front. You can all just sit for a moment before the Lord, and just if you have something specific that you want someone to speak over you, ask for that. Share some of the hurtful stuff that's been said over you. But if not, just come and say, just speak something over me. Let the Lord speak. Can we do that? We even hear right in the beginning of the garden, the serpent. Did God really say? The God who talks all the time, I can also talk. Did God really say? Getting us to question the promises of God. Don't you know that there's something else you need in order to be sufficiently like God? He hasn't made you enough. You need to eat something. I know he told you not, but he's just trying to keep something from you. Is that lie being spoken to you? Let those words that Matt just spoke, you're his. That's who you are, adopted into his family. Do not doubt his words, but the reality is that the war goes on in here. And so we need to fight the voices in our heads. Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, like really? If he's going to get tempted, so are we. And our way to fight is to consistently be found in the word, having friends encouraging us and us being humble enough to hear from them, and obviously for the Holy Spirit to speak the words of life that Jesus has for us. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. The final words of Jesus' life were that he has made purification for your sins and that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. It is done. It is complete. It is finalized. That's the gospel message for us. There's forgiveness in Christ. He rules and he reigns. And the reason he sits at the right hand of the Father is because his work is done. The priests from the Old Testament never sat. Their job was never done. Every day offering offerings for sins, even for their own sins, year after year. But Jesus could sit because his job is done. He's finished. All need to now just come to him. And there may be some here who have never been to Jesus, never heard those welcoming that welcoming invitation from him to say, come, but repent. You've lived a life that has not got me at the head, that has not got me at the helm. I'm not the Lord of your life, and he's calling you to repent and to bow your knee before him. That is the way to enter into this kingdom. And the amazing thing about this Lord is that when you do meet with him, you find out he's not just Lord, but he calls you friend. It's a very strange setup. Very strange. All belongs to him, but he says friend. And that's the God that is inviting us into relationship with himself. So if you've never responded to him, I'm going to close the meeting and then I'm going to ask you to come to me and to respond to the Lord. You have to respond to him, not to me, to him. But I'll help you and I'll lead you. But the Lord is speaking to you. He's speaking to all of us. And my prayer is that as we leave these four walls, we're not only going to speak life to one another, to our children. Dads and moms, find time this week to speak words of life to your children. And if you don't speak words of life, repent means undo it. And then speak words of life. But let's take that attitude and that mirror of Jesus out into the world. It's a world that's harsh on one another. There's not much life being spoken. We live in a day where it's easy to be different. It's really easy to be different. You just speak words of life. So my prayer is that God would enable us to do that, but it takes going out in faith and just going, saying something. God's not going to give you the full monologue. I promise you that. You have to open your mouth, and then the Spirit flows. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you've challenged us. I thank you that you've spoken life to some of us. I thank you that you've invited some of us to lay our lives down before you. And it is your word that we preach. It is your word that we speak, because your word accomplishes all that you send it out to do. You have the words of life. Where else should we go, Lord? And so we come to you. I ask for your blessing upon this people. I ask that as we go from here, you would empower us in confidence to speak words of life. There are many things for us to do, but I ask that this week, our laser focus would just be to speak words of life to our spouses, to our children, to the people around us, in the marketplace, randomly at stores. Lord, may we speak life. You have those words of life, Lord. Would you give them to us to speak? And I ask that as we read your word this week as well, that those words of life would penetrate our hearts. We would replace the lies of the devil. We would replace the lies from the past with the truth of your word that is unshakable, but that one day will shake this earth. It will shake the heavens and the earth, and only what is righteous and holy before you will remain. And so we commit ourselves to you. Those very words that called us to come, and we responded by the power of your Spirit. I ask that those very same words would call us. If it is you, Jesus, call me on the water, and you say, come, would we step out in faith and come toward you. Keep our eyes on you. Let the meditation of our hearts and the words that come off of our lips this week bring glory and adoration to your name, we ask. In the mighty and powerful creative name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.